This is Wells Tech, episode 646, recorded on Tuesday, January 12, 2021. The Post-Quarantine Church. Wells Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 646, and recording it on January 12th. That's a Tuesday in the year 2021. And back for another round, 2021. We didn't scare her off yet. Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. I even hit my record button at the right time. This is a good omen.
It's going to be a great year.
2021, let me tell you. Starting 14 years, the 14th year of Wells Tech. How about that?
Mm-hmm. How about that? That exceeds expectations. Let me just say that. Right?
You know, I was reflecting a little. We tend to do that at this time of year, and it just kind of strikes me what a blessing it's been for me personally to be part of Wells Tech and to see the Synod's growth in so many ways around the use of technology and ministry over these last 13 years of podcasting. You know, I am not out there doing the work that is being done in our churches and schools. I'm here in the Synod office, busy with databases and things like that. And yet I'm able to be a part of this podcast that helps people hopefully use those tools effectively in their ministry efforts.
That was kind of an unintended blessing, I guess. When we started this, it was our intention to just kind of help, you know, provide resources, sort through all the different options as churches and schools were, I think, struggling as to where to go next. And that hasn't really changed, but maybe the blessing that I see is just the connectedness, you know, with our listeners, with those people in the trenches who are giving as much to us as we give to them. And that's a neat part about podcasting in general. If you have an audience for whatever reason, that you have a bigger family and you have greater resources and hopefully more blessings as a result. So thanks to all of our listeners, and boy, thanks for 14 years, God. This is kind of neat.
Yep, and on we go. There's still things to talk about, imagine that.
Still things to talk about, yeah, and we're still talking about this COVID thing, unfortunately. And what we're starting to see now are some resources coming out about what to do after COVID. And that's a valid question. We've talked about it a little bit on the show as to, you know, what does the new normal look like? You know, what does the church look like? What do our schools look like after things have settled down and COVID is not front and center on the agendas? One of those books, some would kind of look at these rounds of books as maybe premature because, you know, we're certainly not on the other side of it. But I believe that our churches and schools need to be trying to get ahead of this and at least try to do some forecasting about, are things going to change? Are we going to be needing to do things differently? Are the people that we serve changed in such a way that our ministry approaches might be different, especially as it results to the use of technology? And we've been introduced to some technologies that we weren't really using in ministry before. So one of those books is by Tom Rainer, and we're going to spend a little bit of time over the next three episodes or so, or at least three episodes. I'm not sure if they'll be sequential, but talking through this rather brief book. It's smaller than a paperback. You know, it's a hardcover, but it is a quick read, which is okay because I think its primary purpose is to give us talking points. And we're actually going to use it in our church council as kind of an agenda for discussion about things we should be talking about, brainstorming, just getting our heads around the fact that, yeah, there may be some things that we're going to have to account for as we go back in this post-quarantine church. And that's actually the name of the book, The Post-Quarantine Church by Tom Rainer. Sally, I looked up the bio of Tom Rainer because I haven't read any of his other books. And he has, yeah, he's written about 30 books. And they're all kind of short, sweet, step-by-steps, which is helpful, I think, for the life of a busy church leader, pastor, or teacher. And he is the founder and CEO of a group called Church Answers. But he is an ordained minister, was part of the Billy Graham School of Missions and Evangelism for a number of years, came out of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And the information and some of the topics that he talks about are kind of very timely. And whether they're, you know, right on theologically or not, you know, I think the book that I've already read, you know, most or all the book a couple times, but and theologically there's not much to disagree with. But regardless, I think the points that are raised are things that I think you and I can talk about and our listeners might be interested in, but maybe even beyond that, what kind of discussions do they suggest, you know, in this post-quarantine world whenever that hits?
Right. The pandemic is going to end at some point, and we're going to find a day where they're going to say you don't have any restrictions on how many people can attend your church services and whether you have to wear a mask in public anymore or whatever. That will come sometime in our future. We're not sure when, but what's church going to look and feel like at that point? How will it be different than it was before? And I think Tom actually introduces it by saying, where were you? And he looks back at several events in our recent memory, like when JFK was assassinated, or man landed on the moon, or just different
9/11,
you know, big right? events, certainly 9/11. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those were on a certain day at a certain time, you know, stop the music, what's happening, where are you kind of things. Whereas the pandemic just kind of creeped up on us. And for me, I can remember I had a trip planned, and it was to visit my mom, who lives in an assisted living. And I remember being on the phone with the director of the assisted living, and she said, don't come. We're locking down tomorrow. It won't do any good to drive 1,000 miles to see your mom. You can't come in. And just, you know, reeling from that, and every, right. You know, it rippled. There were so many things that we all just couldn't even comprehend when it started. And now we don't know when exactly it's going to end.
Yeah, he uses that illustration for a couple of reasons. First of all, all of us have kind of different memories of when it started for us, or maybe it was the time when we shut the Senate office down, or, you know, different kind of, I hate to call them milestones, but certainly memorable moments that will always connect to this. But one of the reasons that he uses those illustrations of those moments in time that you never forget where you are is this one didn't have one. Plus, this one probably affects the church more than any of those other ones.
Quite differently.
And I think that's the challenge here, right? And I think there's a lot of trepidation on the part of church leadership about, you know, how much will this be different? Not will it be, but how much and in what ways? And his encouragement in the introduction is be excited and encouraged by it. God has promised to bless our work, and that has, the pandemic hasn't changed that. And it's important to, you know, not let the unknown become a source of fear, but a chance for opportunity and to proactively get out there and do ministry regardless. So I think that's a very positive approach, and I think that's the one we have to take as we're figuring out how to move forward.
Really great way to frame your perspective on life in 2021, especially, you know, focusing obviously on life of the church moving forward, but just not without without fear, you know, being excited and encouraged. That's great words to start the book with, I think.
Mm-hmm. When I go to chapter one, we're just going to cover a couple chapters. Again, they're short and they just have some brief points. What did you sift out of chapter one that stood out for you, Sally?
Well, chapter one is entitled Gather Differently and Better. And it kind of talks about our facilities, our church buildings, and the things we do in them, and how things kind of came to a screeching halt. And he talks a lot about how busy church calendars are and how much we're involved in doing, you know, having events, getting ready for the next one, because we do this every week. And I don't know about you, Martin, but our church calendar just really, it just was empty. We did worship, and eventually we added Bible class, you know, and now even though we're doing worship in person and also streaming, so much is going into just doing worship still, and we're having one Bible class, and we're not doing Sunday school, we're not doing, you know, any other programs that have been part of the normal church life in the past. And it allowed us to be more focused in things during that time. And I think what he's suggesting is that as you come out of this, you keep things simple. You don't have your building just really tied up with a lot of activities for internal purposes or groups or whatever, but instead you look at ways that you can do things to support the community and bring the community into your building more.
Yeah, if you read the book, and I'd encourage everybody to grab a copy, it's like $10 and a quick read. He talks about the kind of the mentality shift that some congregations could go through, where they're recognizing that, hey, we have a great facility here. We're in a visible location. Many of our churches are. We have a parking lot. We have unfortunately dropped into a mentality that this is kind of a club, you know, this is for our members, you know, so if you are a member, come on in and use the facilities. And that he kind of flips that over and says, you know, maybe here's a good opportunity to kind of reassess that, maybe an opportunity to look for opportunities to get people into your building for whatever reason. I think some of our churches do that, but very often, I know our church in particular, we've done blood drives and that kind of stuff. But I think there are other reasons to throw open the doors of your facility and be a welcoming and a big part of your community, because that's really who you're there to serve. So I thought that was interesting. And he says, don't rush back into, you know, filling that activity calendar up. But look for ways to kind of expand that and maybe use things in a little bit different way. That really doesn't have a lot to do with technology, but in a certain sense, it is, you know, stewardship and trying to figure out what how best to use these things that you have, these gifts that you have for maybe outreach.
And maybe moving then on to chapter two, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
It was titled Seize Your Opportunity to Reach the Digital World. Now, here's one that has to do with technology for sure. And he gave some interesting numbers. He said over 250,000 churches didn't have a web presence before the onset of COVID and now do. And over 100,000 churches began streaming their worship services. So those are some pretty large numbers in terms of a bit of a digital revolution for churches just because of COVID-19 shutting their physical doors. And so the shift that he's focusing on in this chapter is a shift away from just technology for technology tools to a shift of seeing the digital world as a mission field. And, you know, using the tools, that's great, but having your presence there and reaching out to those people that are engaging with you digitally, becoming a real focus of a congregation's mission efforts. And yep. I don't know if you had a reaction to that, Martin.
Yeah, I think, exactly. I think one of the most interesting aspects of that is where he kind of dives into this concept that you have even members in different digital camps. Mm-hmm. You have a group that, what he called digital only, those that prefer to interact with your church in a digital first way. And sometimes we would feel that that's, you know, kind of a negative thing. But ultimately, we have to take advantage of the opportunities that might be there to serve that group. And mm-hmm. certainly, I think the end goal, and he says this in the book too, is to, you know, for face-to-face, you know, ministry to go on. But again, you're going to have people at different places,
right?
Because of the pandemic, right?
You know, people that are fragile medically or whatever, but also you have people who are serving in the military or maybe living overseas for a period of time or whatever it may be. So it's a mm-hmm. little bit broader than just the medical frailties that are out there.
Yep. And then, a second group that are kind of transitioning into or out of a digital space. You know, I think there were a lot of people still who are simply worshiping online yet and haven't come back into the building. So you have to figure out how best to serve them. And maybe there are opportunities to continue to do that or do both. And then finally, these dual citizens who, and a good example of that is I serve as the president of our congregation, and we're doing some of our meetings via mm-hmm. Zoom, where we never did that before. And all of our guys are very comfortable with that at mm-hmm. this point. So it just saves us some time. So it's not that we're going to stop meeting in person, but when we have opportunity, where it makes sense, you know, we can throw that into the mix. And that's just a good way to be a good steward. And I have seen attendance in our meetings go up as a result, as we're mm-hmm. providing a wider path to participate.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen that exact same thing in different committees I'm involved in. And it just is a win for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, we continue to have our meetings, but we're able to participate if we can't be there in person. So yeah. I think he emphasizes it's a both and mentality
right.
instead of an either or. So we're not doing one or the other, but we're allowing this new comprehension and ability with digital communication to enhance our ministries. He still uses that word simple. We talked about that from the first chapter, not filling up your calendar, keeping things simple. And he emphasizes that in terms of your digital efforts as well. You do not need to be on 40 different social media platforms to be effective with digital ministry. Instead, choose one or two and do them well and keep things fairly simple.
Yep. Yep. Anything else on chapter two, Sally?
Well, it did remind me, Martin, that we recently had an interview with Brian Pulfer, and I am going to bring that interview up so I don't represent it incorrectly. He's from a church in Carlsbad, California, and they recently rebranded their school as Carlsbad
right.
Christian Academy. And Brian came on back in November and was willing to share some really great insights they got during the process, and also how COVID actually worked to their advantage, and their school enrollment just escalated dramatically. So really exciting story. And not only did he come on Wells Tech and talk to us about it, but he wrote up a multi-page document and kind of laid out the entire process they went through. I think really timely information, and certainly it's focused toward their school, but the same would apply, I think, to church. And he actually referenced a particular book. Maybe we'll look at this for a future discussion. It's called Fishing on the Other Side, A Guide to Being the Church in the Digital Age. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, this book was probably published before COVID. Just looking at the publication date. And it's not, oh, August 2019. So before COVID. What a great time to take advantage of the information that it's offering there. And this is about things like search engine optimization and online advertising and things like that. So ways to use these digital tools to do outreach to the digital world. So good stuff, I think, that ties in well with this chapter.
Good. All right, well, I'm looking forward to getting into some of the other chapters. There's good stuff in there. And again, as I mentioned, just kind of a good launching pad or platform from which to have these post-quarantine church discussions. So if you want to follow along at home, we'll have a link in the show notes, but it's called The Post-Quarantine Church by Tom Rainer. That's T-H-O-M Rainer, N-A-I-N-E-R. Sally, shall we move on to our picks of the week?
It's about that time, isn't it?
It is.
And mine is actually a blog post from TechCrunch that I came across last week. It's titled, Facebook Redesigns Pages with a More Simplified Layout and No Like Button. So you can't like pages anymore on Facebook. Instead, you become a follower. And this article...
That makes more sense to me.
It does. It gets into a lot of details and gives you a look at some of the tools and things that are changing as well, because they have this Creator Studio now, and you can get a mobile app separate from Facebook, a Facebook Creator Studio app that'll allow you to easily add content to your Facebook pages and things like that. So I'm seeing a lot of improvements coming out of Facebook and through this. One that I thought was really interesting, Martin, I don't know if you've heard about this, but pages can now have a news feed. So as a page, you can go and follow other pages and you can interact with them as if you were a person. And I do this, obviously I do it for Wells Tech. I also do it for LWMS. I think I've mentioned that in the past. So when I go to a particular place, I can say, I'm Sally or I'm LWMS. So I'm more taking on that persona of the organization.
You always do that?
I don't know if it was as obvious and the newsfeed thing, especially.
Mm-hmm.
You're following those pages and you're interacting with those pages as the organization. Maybe they just kind of make it a default if you're in your newsfeed or something to that effect.
Okay. Yeah.
They have a new Q&A format, so you can ask questions, engage with your fans that way on particular topics. And then you can be more granular in who you give administrative privileges to. So you can specify people who are responsible for posting versus commenting and things like that. So check out the article. There's a lot more in it that you might find of interest, especially if your church or school has a Facebook page. You want to know how to effectively use it. So this would be a good reference for you.
I like this because I think this makes this more useful for organizations like churches, where you can treat it more like a web page. It's not just a pure social network, but you can kind of control the environment a little bit more, divvy out permissions, those kinds of things. I think all those are good.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right, I guess it's my turn, and my pick of the week is it doesn't sound very exciting, but it might excite some because of some of the features they're throwing into it, and it's a new browser. Microsoft Edge has been around for a while. It's had a couple of different renditions, but the latest version, which was launched in early 2020 with a revised rendering engine based on Chrome or Chromium, is now kind of maturing, and there are some features currently or on the horizon very soon that may be of interest to some folks. And there are three in particular I wanted to highlight and kind of the reasons for the pick. One is something called Collections. Collections is kind of an alternative to bookmarks, where you can, if you're, let's say the use case would be, I'm going to take a vacation, and you want to gather websites and web content relevant to that vacation. So you can open up a side pane and add content to it. You can organize it. And it is just kind of a nice, more visual way than kind of stuffing favorites in a folder. It's got a first class button right on the toolbar and shows a little thumbnail of the page as well. So I think this might be useful for some. Another is a built-in web capture button. And currently it enables the ability to obviously press the button and get a screen capture of whatever web page you're on. But I think in a release on the almost the very near future, you'll even be able to do the whole screen. So oftentimes it's a challenge without special tools to get a screen capture of something that's off the page. So you want to kind of grab the whole article or the whole page from top to bottom. So, and it scrolls for a number of pages. You could do that, I think, with things like Snagit and the like, but this now is built in where you can get the full page and out pops a JPEG of that entire image. So that's pretty cool. And then you can also annotate it. So there are some drawing tools, highlighting tools, that kind of stuff that'll save it as well to that JPEG. So you can copy it or copy and paste it or save it as a file, either way. And then finally, one new feature that is in the dev channel, they have these insider builds. There's a beta, dev, and what they call canary. So these are kind of the pre-release versions, all at different stages of stability. In their dev channel, which means that it's pretty close to getting pushed into beta and then finally into our hands, is something called vertical tabs. And vertical tabs are just what they sound like. You're used to these tabs horizontally across the top. And those of you that build up a lot of tabs, you know how those tabs get smaller and smaller and smaller to make more and more room for more and more tabs. The vertical tab paradigm kind of solves that, where you can scroll up and down and keep the tabs as wide as you want them. So as you're looking across your tabs, they're all the same size and they're vertical across the left edge of the screen, kind of in their own pane. And that's super nice, especially if you have a lot of tabs. And there are some features that you can add, you know, sticky tabs and things that sub tabs that you can organize tabs under tabs and get little thumbnails, those kinds of things. So I think for a lot of people, this is a great feature. Also, because a lot of our screens are wider than they all are taller, we're kind of starved for vertical space, not horizontal space. So by putting the tabs in the left-hand side, you're sacrificing a little bit of your left to right space, your horizontal space, but you're gaining space on the vertical side because your tabs aren't up at the top. So that is a new feature. You can get this if you want to download one of these insider builds, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Microsoft Edge, I think, is a first-class browser citizen at this point. It renders things perfectly. It's using that Chrome engine, so if it'll render in Chrome, it'll display in Microsoft Edge, plus a lot of good syncing features and security features as well. And it doesn't quite use the amount of resources that Chrome does. Chrome's got a bad rap, probably justified for taking a lot of system resources, but Microsoft seems to have lessened that a bit. So might be something to take a look at. And again, in a browser near you, some of these features might be something that that might be helpful to you.
Thanks for sharing that, Martin. It's always fun to sit back and listen as you describe such things as a first-class browser citizen. Like, that's not the way I would put it into words. That's really cool. And then that whole left, right, horizontal, vertical thing. Wow, I couldn't have done that. So pretty impressive.
Yeah, this is something my wife is going to enjoy because she is the queen of tabs.
Oh, I do not know
how she knows where they all are just by that itty-bitty favicon that's sitting up there telling you what's in that tab. But we'll see how it goes.
Excellent.
All right, let's move on to our ministry. We're kind of combining two categories here this week because we felt that they went together. Ministry resources / Wells Now.
Wow, a doubleheader all in one. Yep. And these resources came out of our Lutheran Schools office. So shout out to Wells Lutheran Schools. That's a group of hardworking people down there. And we're so excited to be able to work with them. And they are super social. Who would know? But they recently put together a list of teacher collaboration opportunities. So things like email groups that are run through the Lutheran Schools office for leadership, for high school leadership, elementary school leadership, those interested in WELSA Q&A kind of platform, and Christian Educators for Special Education. So something that fits all different types of specialties out there in the education spectrum. And then they have a lengthy list list of Facebook groups that they're aware of for all different types of educators, Wells educators specifically. So everything from band directors and voice teachers to special education, tech tools for Wells teachers, early childhood, just the big general group that we've talked about many times, Wells educators during COVID-19 and beyond, where just so many great resources were shared, especially in the early days of the pandemic, and continue to be shared there. So if you aren't tuned into these, here's a great way to up the ante on your professional learning network and just become part of these groups or subscribe to these email lists. So check it out. And while you're doing it, our Lutheran Schools office has started a brand new page on Facebook. So you'll want to go over and follow Wells Lutheran Schools at Wells Schools on Facebook. And we'll have a link to all of this in our Wells Tech show notes.
Neat. And yeah, you hit it right on the money, Sally, when you talked about the great work that they're doing down there. They have limited resources, but boy, they put out a lot of great stuff, and then manage, obviously, all of our resources for our teachers, in addition to getting those call lists out. They're, you know, knee deep in it now during call season, mm-hmm. but it's fun to work with them. They're dedicated and neat people.
Yeah, very true.
I think we are ready for our final segment of the show, and that is one of our favorites. That is community feedback. That's where we talk about different things that either caught our eye or people sharing information directly with us that we wanted to pass along to you, our faithful listeners. What do we got this week?
Well, we regularly talk about Wells Intersections on Facebook, yep. and today is no different. This is a Facebook community. It currently has about 600 members, and it's specifically around technology and ministry. It actually was an offshoot of a 2015 Wells Tech conference that we held, and it's moderated by Pastor James Aderman, and there's just always great discussion there. So hard to boil it down to just a few posts, but some you might want to tune into. There was one titled Church Use of Humor on Social Media. So, you know, when is it right? When is it wrong? What kind of caution should you have in place around using humorous type things in social media? Another person put a question out there, shoot us your best church websites. And people just shared their church websites. So it was pretty neat to be able to just click in and look at what different people are doing on their church websites. And then more recently, Martin, in response to the civil unrest, I guess we would call it, in our country, Pastor Aderman put a question about how must the church communicate in these times? Is remaining silent even an option? And certainly avoiding political agendas, but still sharing the truth of the gospel at this time would be an objective. So some real thoughtful and thought-provoking discussion around that topic that I think many could benefit from considering different people's viewpoints and perhaps joining the conversation there on Wells Intersections. So we will have links to those specific posts, but definitely a link to Wells Intersections in general. You can easily become part of the group and join the conversation there. So check it out.
Very good.
Next up, Martin, I think we have a voicemail to play from Steve Utke, who's at Abiding Word in Highland Springs, Colorado.
Martin, this is Steve Utke with Abiding Word Lutheran Church in Highlands Ranch, Colorado. Say, I ran into some things and I verified with the FCC. I'm sure you're aware of the FCC selling off the 600 megahertz range forced churches to vacate that and use 500 or 400. Well, what wasn't so obvious, and you may or may not know that, is within the 600 megahertz range, there are still frequencies that can be legally used unlicensed between 657 to 663 megahertz. In 20, when typical microphones use 25 kilohertz as a band, that leaves quite a few frequencies that you can adjust a transmitter and a receiver to and legally continue to operate. You do have to accept interference if interference is there, and technically you can't create interference, but most microphones will not produce much of splatter, especially when they're working in 20 or 10 or 30 milliwatt capacity. They're only good for about 300 feet.
All right, thanks to Steve for submitting a voicemail. It's always good to get those. And as you heard, he is offering some great advice. We had talked, I think, about this topic a couple years ago when the spectrum thing was an issue, and some of our churches had to figure out what they were doing with some of their equipment, especially if they were in that 600 megahertz range spectrum. And the good news is that there is a range that can be still used, and if your equipment supports it, you don't have to pitch that to the curb. You can use that acceptably, and that's a great option. So great information, Steve. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, definitely. And then finally, in our community feedback segment, we want to mention Principal Tom Rosenau, who serves at St. Paul in Bloomer, Wisconsin, longtime listener and contributor to Wells Tech. He wrote to us recently looking for a PDF software recommendation for a Mac. And Martin, I volleyed that one your direction because you're the Mac guy here.
Yeah, and it's really not. He was looking for something cross-platform. And some of the usual suspects, Adobe Acrobat, of course, is cross-platform. One that he had kind of forgotten about, but we use here in the Synod office quite a bit, is Foxit Reader. Not a free program. I think there maybe is a free version, but to get some of the features maybe that you'd want, you'd have to pay a little bit for it. And then one that I did a little bit of research on that I had not heard of, something called SEJDA. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. S-E-J-D-A. My guess is the J is silent somehow or becomes a Y or something like that. And then Tom actually did a little research after I sent that over to him. He said it's also free for teachers in K-12 and universities, provided you're using it for schoolwork. Confirmation process asks what you plan on using the software for within your classroom. Digital textbooks and digitizing student portfolios come to mind. Your G Suite administrator can also connect SEJDA, or whatever it's called, with your domain very easily, and there's a link in the show notes for that. So, but those were kind of the big three. If anybody out there knows of other kind of, he's looking for it for some organization, some annotation, that kind of stuff that he does work on a couple different platforms. So if you are aware of a tool that does that, PDF tool that does that, by all means, share it in community feedback. Imagine that.
And we've got lots of ways for people to do that. Probably the number one thing that you can do is head over to our show notes webpage, 14 years in the making. It's at wellstech.wells.net. And we have all kinds of social media links, as well as email and even voicemail links on that page. You can even leave us a comment in the show notes if you'd like to do that. We would love to hear from you and include you in our next podcast.
Very good. Great show, Sally. What are we in store for the next time we gather?
One of my favorite things, we're going to have our EdTech gurus, Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College and Jason Schmidt from Octo Falls, I want to say.
Oconto.
That's close. I was close. Wisconsin. And they're going to talk EdTech with us. I think we're going to look at some of our favorite resources for EdTech, blogs and podcasts and things like that. So tune in to find out.
Awesome. 2010, 2021. We're all over the place here. Is off to a rip-roaring start. So hopefully you'll join us for our next episode, and invite a friend. It's awesome that the audience keeps growing and we get more and more participation. And hopefully in some small way, we're making a difference. Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.